We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. Here's your host, Todd McKim.
Hi, everybody. Todd McKim, and welcome to another edition of Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. Before we get started with the interview with head coach Justin Wilcox, a reminder, it's going to be homecoming this Saturday. The Bears at home against the Beavers. So the first 10,000 fans will receive a free Oski bobblehead. We've got you covered with any of your ticket needs as well, from group outings to single game tickets. Log on to calbears.com for more information or call 1-800-GO-BEARS to speak with a gold standard representative. As we mentioned, the Bears against the Beavers this week, a North Division matchup as the Bears enter the second half of their season. First of all, let's start with the first half, 4-2 record. What did you learn about your team if you're the professor and this is your class, your students? So what kind of a grade do you give?
Well, I don't know about grades. I think we've learned a lot about our team, and I think, really encouraged by the way the guys have competed and the toughness that we've showed, the grit to persevere through some things, which is encouraging. We've done some things in each phase, offense, defense, and special teams, that gives you a lot of encouragement. Now it's about the consistency, and we talk about that a lot. And it's a challenge each and every day. A lot of people can do it one time or two times, but to be able to sustain throughout a season in every phase of the game, that's how you win. And so I think the guys understand that, and they had a really good bye week, and it was productive for us. And now we got to put it together back for the second half of the season.
Well, the bye week here on campus was not your prototypical bye week in that for most of the campus, there was no power, but you still had to go ahead and plow through bye week. Every week is a different endeavor. Bye weeks for different coaches mean different things. What did this bye week this year mean to your squad?
Well, as you mentioned, we had a couple things happen on campus, but the good news is to be able to go out and practice. Our trainers did a great job of setting up kind of a temporary unit up in the tunnel, and we were able to go out and practice with really no interruption. So I really appreciate the people in our department that made that happen. It was a good time for us. There were some guys who've played a lot of reps this season who were able to really focus on their bodies. And they still did some things physically in terms of running and conditioning and those things, but we were able to take some of the load off of them and really pour our energy and practice into the guys who haven't played as much or at all this year and really work on some skill development because we're going to need those guys throughout the rest of this season. So it was a really productive week in a lot of ways for us, and the guys had a great mentality throughout.
Also, we mentioned the power outage, and there was an earthquake earlier this week. I guess it was late Monday night. No direct effect on that, but we wish everybody is well in that situation because that's always a scary thing, especially when it happens at night and you can't see everything. So hopefully everybody's okay with that. Offensive line has been banged up. You lost a couple of guys before the season started, basically. You lost a couple of guys in the Oregon game, and yet the two guys that have played every snap on your football team offensively are two offensive linemen with Curran and Sindrich. Yeah. Those guys have been real warriors. What kind of a patchwork line can we expect this week?
Well, we're hoping to get some guys back. As you mentioned, we have been banged up there, and it's really been proud of the way the guys have rose to the occasion. Guys that haven't played very much but have jumped in and prepared, and that way they could go in and operate. And we still have a lot of work to do with that, some of those inexperienced guys. But hopefully this bye week will get us a chance to get a couple of those guys back who have been out. And if they're not, then the guys who have been filling in, well, it's their job to take the next step in their development. And, I think Steve Greatwood's done just an unbelievable job of preparing those guys because not only are we playing some different faces, but also different positions. And you mentioned a couple guys, Curhan and Sindrick. I mean, Matt Sindrick was playing left guard, and in one play, all of a sudden he's playing center, and there's a new left guard in, and then we ended up having another left tackle with Val. And so, like, all those things kind of happen, and that's part of the game. But I really appreciate the guys' preparation and the way that Coach Greatwood has got that group to work together.
You mentioned earlier that a bye week can often be a time where players that have not played a lot get more reps. Most people think of that as maybe your guys that are redshirting, your freshmen. But was Devon Monster in that case as well? Because he didn't play a lot, even though he's now the starting quarterback. Did he get a lot of the reps that maybe he wouldn't gotten if he'd have been the starter from the very beginning?
Well, he took some. He had a couple things he was working through coming out of the Oregon game. So we focused on some of the health issues with him. But he's good to go and had a really good week. He threw the ball some, but we poured some more into Spencer Brash. He got a bunch of work in the off during the bye week. And then, again, a lot of guys who, have maybe played a little bit, like Trayvon Clark got a lot of good work, and the tight ends, that whole room, and some of those young O-linemen. And so it was really productive that way, just for those guys continue to get reps and grow and get coached in our systems.
You could also this week have a new addition to the Cal family, Gerald Alexander and his wife. As we tape this on Tuesday at the 11:25, expecting another child, are you ready to go in there and take over the DBs if GA has to get called to go to the hospital?
Yeah, so he's actually gone right now.
Oh, he's gone
now?
Yeah,
it's all set up, and he's with his family, which is exactly where he should be. And we're excited for him. We haven't received word yet. We're about Tuesday at, 11:15 or so. So we're waiting on the word, but we're excited for him and his family. And it's like I said, it's exactly where he needs to be. And for the time being, I'll get to go to the DB meeting today. And I love doing that and get back in there with those guys. And it's a great group. And, I always kind of kid them because I'm sure they're praying like, crazy to get him back so they don't have to deal with me. But yeah, it's fun they're great. I mean, we have a good time in there, and it's fun to change it up and that type of thing.
It always is an interesting dynamic when the head coach has expertise in a certain area, how the room reacts when the head coach then becomes the position coach for a day or two. Obviously, wish the best for GA and his wife and get him back here for the game on Saturday against Oregon State. Speaking of the Beavers, they come in off a loss to Utah at home. It was their homecoming. Utah really took it to them. Utah was coming off a bye. They were rested. Utah is one of the better teams in the league. They're nationally ranked. They're in the top 15, so a good team. But for the first time this year, Oregon State struggled offensively. They've been moving the ball. They had been averaging 475 yards going into that game, 37 points. And the Utes held them about less than 220 total offense, and I think got one last touchdown in the last minute of play. So I guess give credit to Utah for doing what they did. But when you look at this Oregon State team, especially on the road, they've already got a win over UCLA. They played Hawaii tough, probably maybe could have won that game with Hawaii. Offensively, Jake Luton, he kind of reminds me a little bit, maybe you can talk to this, of a guy they had up there, Derek Anderson, a big guy that's got a rocket arm. Maybe not the most mobile guy, but good receiving core, good running backs, and they've got the capability of scoring.
Yeah, absolutely. You said it. And this game this past week that they played against Utah, that's the outlier, because the rest of them, they were averaging, I think, over 37 a game offensively, moving the ball up and down the field. Jake Luton's thrown it extremely well, very accurate. Doesn't turn their offense, they don't turn the ball over. I mean, they have been really good about taking care of the ball. They got good backs. Pierce and Jefferson, they're really well coached up front, big at guard, interior lineman, and then, you know, the receiver 17's a matchup issue. And so they've been doing a really nice job on offense, the way they kind of, you know, run the ball, set up the pass. They're a good game plan team, so if something's hurt you before, you can bet you're going to see it. You know, they do a really nice job game planning. So we have a ton of respect for them, their coaching staff, how they do it, the players they have on their team, and they're much improved from a year ago. And that's a credit to all of them. And they're going to come down here hungry and ready for a battle. So we got to have a great week of practice, and our guys are aware of all that. And it really comes down to what we do and how we prepare, and ultimately how we go out and execute.
You mentioned the two running backs. Last year, Jamar Jefferson was one of the big surprises, not only in the Pac-12, but also in the country. Rushed for well over 1,000 yards as a freshman. Pierce, a different kind of a back, has had a good year so far this year. And then their offensive line, former Bear coach Jim Mahalchik is the coach. And we know what kind of a job he can do with the guys up front. Talk about Jonathan Smith. You played against him, right, when you were at Oregon, and he was at Oregon State. He was their quarterback on their 2000 team that ended up going to the Fiesta Bowl. And that was one of the more talented teams we've seen in this conference maybe in the last 30 years. Dennis Erickson was the coach. They honored him a couple of weeks ago as he's inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame. What do you remember about Jonathan as a quarterback? Not the biggest guy in the world, but, boy, he could fling it.
Yeah, accurate, competitor, you know, wanted the ball when it was 2 minutes to go. Very kind of a cold-blooded guy, you know, and I've known John a long time. I have a ton of respect for him, and, you know, I like him a lot, and I know his team's going to be ready to play. And they play, you know, to the personality of their coach. I mean, they're tough, and they compete really hard. They got good schemes, and it's well thought out in what they're doing in all phases, offense, defense. I know Coach Tibisar really well too, and so we know they're well coached, and they're a gritty bunch of guys, and they're better and better. I mean, you see it week to week, and so just a ton of respect for John and what he's done, and it's not surprising.
Yeah, they brought in some transfers. Nebraska, they got a couple of guys from Nebraska, Oklahoma. So they've kind of had to piece some things together, and in some respects, some programs have to go in that direction, and that's what Jonathan has decided to do. And quite frankly, the last 2 years since he left Washington, when he was the offensive coordinator there, the Washington offense maybe hasn't quite been what they were when Jonathan was there with Chris Peterson. So we got this tie-in with Chris Peterson, yourself, Jonathan. There's a lot of tie-ins going on here. Defensively, though, they have struggled this year and last year, particularly stopping the run. What are they trying to do defensively to take advantage of what the personnel is?
Yeah, they're very similar to us. Okay. I mean, structurally, very, very similar. I know Coach Tibisar from Wisconsin. We worked together there, and he's a very, very smart guy, really good coach. So you see the schemes that they're using, and you see the growth in their players, and I understand, you know, it takes some time to get going sometimes, and those guys battle, and they have good schemes, and they'll put you in some tough spots in terms of, you know, what fronts they're going to show you, some of the simulated pressures that they're going to bring. So ultimately, it's going to come down to execution, all right, on our part. And, you know, we got a week to get ready. We got a little bit of work on them last week, but really need to dial it in this week because we know it's going to be a battle.
And Oregon State, for whatever the reason, they have played better on the road under Jonathan Smith than maybe they have at home. So the Bears should expect nothing but Oregon State's best effort this week. Coach, we appreciate you stopping by, and we'll talk to you before the ballgame.
Thanks. Go Bears.
All All right, head coach Justin Wilcox, Nancy McDaniel will join us up next. We'll talk women's golf and a big event that they've got coming up this Sunday in Oakland. But a reminder, Bart has been proudly carrying Cal Bear sports fans for over 45 years. We are dedicated to getting all Cal fans to the game for the start of the action and delivering them safely home after the game. Download the official Bart app to plan your trip. And as a reminder, you do want to get there early this week against Oregon State. The first 10,000 fans will receive a free Oski bobblehead.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Joining us now is longtime women's golf coach Nancy McDaniel, who years ago, it's been a while now, you actually started the program here at Cal, and you guys are coming up on a milestone anniversary as well. Go back to when you started the program. What was it like getting this thing off the ground? And since then, you've had tremendous success.
Oh, thanks, Todd. Yes, I'm sitting in my office here at the High Performance Stadium, and I think the biggest difference was my office back then. I was put in a corner where there was no windows and given a computer, not even a list of go-to recruits. And they said, here, you have 9 months to get things up and running and do your best. Recruit in-state and see what you can do. And so, you know, with the help of Steve Desimone at the time, our Cal men's coach, he really helped me get going, gave me confidence in what I was doing. And I had just come off of playing. So, you know, I didn't have the experience I needed. Jan Brogan was the tennis coach at the time. She'd meet me for lunch. I think they put her on me so that she could mentor me officially. And we just got it going. We recruited some California players, some wonderful women who are, you know, now in the Bay Area. One's a dentist, Annie Donnelly. One's a doctor of psychology at UCSF in athletics. And then Eden Anderson-Holsey is expecting her second child, and she is a lawyer, and now she's the club champion at nearby Claremont Country Club, where my husband is the head pro. So those people, having those people come back for alumni weekend this weekend is really special. And we just got it started with some homegrown folks, and off we went. And they set the standard, and they were pioneering women, and we're just really proud of them for what they've done.
You've had some great teams over the years, some great individuals as well, but you have 20 consecutive NCAA regionals. I mean, that's a tremendous accomplishment to have the consistency and the quality over the course of the years. Tell us about this year's squad. What can we expect? That's obviously the fall season. The spring season probably gets more notoriety. That's when the championships are. Tell us a little bit about this year's squad.
Oh, this year's squad is, again, just filled with potential and some really bright lights. We started the season at Washington State, and we haven't put it all together consistently yet, but what we've seen are, like, Maria, our senior, coming out and being under par in that tournament, and then getting a little support from two other players. And then the next tournament, we go to the Molly, and we host at up in Portland with Oregon State. And we have our freshman, Z Chang, come out and just really play some solid golf on a big golf course. She finishes top 20 there and shoots under par. And then just Sunday, we wrapped up at Stanford, and we had Catherine Zhu leading our team. So we've had three different leaders, and we're seeing it all coming together. Like last year, we played well at the Pac-12 preview and in Hawaii coming up, and those three players have been real leaders for us. And we've got Christine Tran from San Jose and Sophia Lundell really, you know, putting together some good rounds here and there. And so, yeah, we're hoping it all comes together, but I've seen some real bright lights here.
Collegiate golf, if anybody follows either the men or the women, golf is an international sport. It's played around the world, and the competition is extremely high. A lot of great golfers around the world, and that's reflected in your program. You have an international component, and you have for quite some time. Is that by design, by necessity, just how it works out? And how has it worked out for you?
Well, I always say we shop local. You know, we shop local first, always. Northern California players, you know, our recruits are always starting from here and the Bay Area and then Southern California. If we can't find the best California player, then we look for the best in the world. And so that has taken us over to Taiwan this year with Z, which is a new area for us, but a tremendous area of growth in the sport. Then, you know, we just noticed, our players noticed ASU won last week at Stanford. Well, every single player was from a different country and was one of the leaders in their country. Mm-hmm. So we look at Cal, you know, you look at Cal and the diversity, and it seems to work with California players who really love Cal and know what it's all about, or the Europeans or the Asians that look at the area and know that they can come here and feel at home. They can come here and get the food they want, cooked by the people they want. You know, and so it's been a real success story for our international players. I think they really thrive here. And they're independents, too. They're very independent, so yes, that's good.
That is good. They have to be when they get here. Last week, in addition to the Stanford Invitational, prior to that starting, you had what is called the big match, the second year of the competition. It's Cal versus Stanford. And as close as you can possibly get this year, it literally came down to the last hole, last putts. And you were able to, for the second year in a row, defeat Stanford in the big match. Tell us about the format, why it's been successful, and explain to folks that maybe didn't read about it how your team was able to pull it out on the very last hole.
Wow, yes, it did come down to the last hole. And I tell you what, at darkness, too, which is really fun. So it's a match played. There's six matches go out. So we take six of our players and six of the men's players, and we team them up. They play a best ball format. And so I heard the players talking a lot about, well, my male player can go for it. And so we would always have him hit first, and then we would be set up for, or I would always hit first to be consistent, get on the green, and then the male player can go for the pin. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of strategy involved when you pair male and female and different tees and different distances, and of course, you know, they play in different styles. So for some reason, our style has really worked. And I give a lot of credit to Beverly Vadananagulkut, our assistant, and our men's assistant, Chris, over there, who put together the teams. And I think that really does play a part in it. And those guys really have some camaraderie, some high-fiving going around the course. And I don't think there's another sport you can really do this in. It came down to the last hole. Sofia Lundell from Sweden is the last woman standing, and her partner. Funny enough, the guys sort of hit it a little bit off, you know, into the rough, and had to chip out. And you know, they were doing their part; they were going for it. And then Sofia, who's playing, you know, right up the middle, she hits a 5-iron up to pin high, about 30 feet left, and it makes a great 2-putt on those greens. And her counterpart didn't make her 2-putt, and so it ended sort of on a, you know, it wasn't a big. You know, there was a big cheer, obviously. It's always a big match, but in the same golf sort of reserved state, you know, we didn't want to make too much of it from a missed putt. But I'll tell you what, afterwards and in private, we're really excited about this. And it's just a wonderful rivalry with such a great program over at Stanford and what they're doing, to be able to go in and hold our own in that venue. And then the Menlo people, Menlo Country Club, just a huge shout out to them, and allowing us to be one of their first outside events these last 2 years has been tremendous.
Well, it's nice not only to have the competition with Stanford, but also to have the men's and women's programs kind of combine. It ended up 3-2-1 with the Bears winning it and taking home the championship for the second consecutive year. And you know, the other nice thing about this, we get so caught up in golf, unless it's the Ryder Cup, individual stroke play. Okay, who can shoot the lowest rounds? But this is, you got a kind of a team thing going on, builds camaraderie, and as you mentioned, the one of the keys is to pair up who's going to play with whom, because they can either be opposites and kind of fight what you're trying to do, or they can work in conjunction, and then you have the personalities. Do they team up together as well? That's a big thing, and a lot of people say that's why in these international competitions, such as the Ryder Cup, et cetera, that the Europeans have done a better job of pairing that up, and they've had more success. So of whatever it is that the Bears have found the magic as far as this competition is concerned.
Well, we do have a little springtime training on this, too.
Oh, you do? Okay.
And you say the Ryder Cup, which is great, a great segue, because we pair up our international players on both teams, oh. right? And so a female from Sweden and a male from Germany, you know, who plays for Walter, and they do the Ryder Cup each spring, and that creates more camaraderie, too, and they get to learn a little bit about each other, and I think some of those pairings took place last week. So, oh. so yeah, there are some strategies.
All right. So there is some method to the madness, so to speak.
Yes.
You've got a big event coming up this week, Nancy. It's going to be held down at the Metropolitan Golf Links off of Doolittle Drive in Oakland. It's called the Teach for the Cure, an effort to raise money to fight cancer. The goal is about $10,000 this year. Open to anybody. And tell us a little bit about where this came about, because you're going to pair up with USF as well. So the coaches from both teams are going to be giving lessons. Tell us where the brainstorm came from this and what exactly you're hoping to get accomplished this weekend.
Thanks, Todd. Where it came from was I'm a golf coach and I had cancer. And so putting those two things together, and I also have lost friends who I don't believe should have been lost. And a lot of women and are out there who would have benefited from targeted therapies and things that we can actually work on. So thinking about being busy in October and being a golf coach and how to employ this seamlessly, we decided we would teach golf. My husband's really involved with this too and my support, and teach golf and make the donation towards the Breast Cancer Research Fund. And the research fund is really important. We chose that because of, one of every eight women is, may contract breast cancer in their lifetime. And we want to change that. We want to make it 1 in 100 or 0 of anybody. And so with that research, we feel like that those funds are the best place to go, the best place to be able to help. So it's a really fun day, and I would say it created a lot of camaraderie between people who have lost people, men and women. So I reach out to men as well to come and take a lesson, maybe in the memory of, a relative or a friend that they may have lost or is going through it. When they arrive, they get to put their name, the person that they want to honor on a golf ball, and we stick it on a board. We get, our teams involved to warm up the people and sort of concierge them to their lesson. So it's a really special day, and it's a special golf lesson. It's not just arrive and pay your money and this and that. It goes to something so much bigger than all of us and that we're helping. It's also just, like I said, the camaraderie between the people and, the stories that are shared and the therapy around that can be really impactful and powerful. So hoping to see a lot of people out there this Saturday. Sunday for us.
Is it eight in the morning till 2?
Yes, 8 in the morning till 2, and the sign-up will be on calgolf.com. Also on our Instagram, it's pretty well publicized, and it's done with USF. So last year, we just did it. Cal just did it, but my dream is to raise $1 million for this, right, in my lifetime. And so last year, we raised $5,000, just having the three instructors of ours from Cal, and then my thought was to expand it to other programs. So USF is helping us. Cal Poly is doing one down in San Luis Obispo. UC Irvine is doing one next year, getting started. And then San Jose State is doing one. My good friend Dana Dorman is over there as the head coach, and they have a new facility over there that they're teaching at. She has Pat Hurst, who's the Solheim Cup assistant, helping her teach. And, Dana's a great player and teacher herself, and another couple of LPGA women are coming together to give their normal lesson fees to BCRF and really support this cause. That's happening on Saturday the 19th, and all of that is on our page and you can just click through and sign up on our sign-up page.
And the other thing is that let's just say for whatever reason you can't make it there, you can still donate. I mean, you can still contribute and be a part of this thing. You don't have to actually show up. And so however you want to contribute, and I brought a check with me today, so I'm going to contribute as well. Now, I won't be able to take the lesson as badly as I need one, Nancy. I'm not going to be able to do that, but I do want to be a part of this because my family has been affected by cancer as well. the lessons, you break it down, is my understanding, to be pretty specific. It's not like you're going to try to teach somebody how to play golf and use all their clubs in one 40-minute or 45-minute session. You're going to try to break it down and do kind of one thing and specialize, right?
Sure, yes. And there are, this year we have three range slots each hour. So if you want a full swing lesson, you'll get that. Or a putting lesson for people who may be just starting or want to work on their putting, or a chipping lesson. And that's when our players get involved too. So yeah, it's going to be a great day, and we're just really excited to be able to give back and do something.
And once again, give the website the information that people can either find out more information or donate as well.
Yes. So the website, and today and tomorrow, BCRF does, during Breast Cancer Awareness Month, a matching gift. So today, and they pop up kind of randomly, but today and tomorrow are matching gift times. So that's going to be, 15th and 16th of October, and then a couple more will come our way. So it is to look at BCRF.org, and then our webpage is on there, but it's really best to go through our Cal Bears website. It'll take you directly there, or email me at nmcdan@berkeley.edu, and I'd love to give you any information for sure.
A great cause, and contribute. Get down there between 8 and 2. Again, it's at the Metropolitan Golf Links off of a Doolittle Drive in Oakland. And if you can't, get on the website and make a contribution to a very, very worthy cause. Nancy, I appreciate, as always, talking to you. I know a couple of weeks you have the final tournament of the fall. That's unfortunately over in Kona, Hawaii, the big island over there. It's terrible that you have to go over there and actually compete against the other Pac-12 teams. But I know you guys will have a good tournament over there, then a couple of months off, and then you get ready for the spring. So, again, thanks for being with us. We appreciate it. And good luck this weekend with the Teach for the Cure down at the Metropolitan Golf Links in Oakland.
Thank you, Todd. We really appreciate it. And go Bears.
All righty. Nancy McDaniel, highly successful coach for the Cal women's golf team. That wraps it up for this week. Of course, football. This is homecoming weekend. We hope to have a lot of former student athletes. A new program that the administration is trying to get more student athletes back on campus for a football game. That's this weekend. So hopefully we'll have a big crowd as the Bears take on the Oregon State Beavers. We'll be on the air early in the morning, mid-morning, because we have a pre-noon kickoff. 11:30 is the Bears take on Oregon State. Thanks to Justin Wilcox as well. And next week we'll be back with more as we'll preview the football game against the Utes in Salt Lake City. I'm Todd McKim. Thanks for joining us once again on Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. And as always, go Bears!
This has been Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics, with your host, Todd McKim. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation.